This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I will get to some emails and stuff this hour. We have yet another statue of an American legend coming down. Why does this happen? Apparently, they keep running into violent people here at the RNC. They just snatched some dude up with an AK and a ski mask. So things are going to be spicy all week, apparently, here. But let's just finish up our thoughts on this. In case you're just now joining us, guy wrote an email and he said, the left will turn things into shameful things to say, but people don't change their minds about them necessarily. They'll just stop talking about it. Well, I want to explain it this way. You know my wife, Aubrey, you know she's the healthy one. She's the health freak, the national gymnast. You know, she's one of those types. Me, not as much, especially when it comes to my food. I prefer to eat things that aren't disgusting like she does. And so we had, you remember this, you people who listened to the show a long time, we had these, a peanut butter war, a mini peanut butter war in the house. I just want a jar of Jif peanut butter. That's all. I'm going to walk around the house probably with the jar in my hands, eating it with a spoon. I just do. I just walk around eating it with a spoon. I'll put it on a banana. I'll put it on toast. I'll make a little PB&J sandwich with a little raspberry spread on there. I'm just Mr. Peanut Butter. You can call me Mr. Nutter Butter. I take that back. Don't ever call me that. I didn't think that through, but you understand exactly what I'm saying. I am a peanut butter freak. And she did another one of those, it's too many preservatives type thing. And so she buys some weird organic, who knows what it was. It was disgusting is what it was, peanut butter. So it was awful. I hated it. The boys hated it. We all hated it. Now, before this war came, that's the part we haven't talked about yet. It'll come back to the cultural thing. Stay with me. Before that came, what happened was every time I would grab the peanut butter, she would say, or the boys would grab the peanut butter, hey, we need to switch. I just want to let you know she's going to switch. Or I'm going to switch. We're going to stop buying Jif. I'm going to stop. We're going to switch. I'm telling you right now, we're going to switch. She would over and over and over and over and over again. Why did I eventually relent shortly and allow the organic, whatever, super healthy peanut butter to get there? Why did I do that? Because it would quiet things down. I just want to go get a friggin' spoon, and I just want to get a big old glob of peanut butter, and Fred will follow me around the house because he knows he's going to get to clean it off by the time I'm done. I just want to do this in relative peace. So you know what? Just get the other peanut butter. I'm sure it won't be that fine. People historically, no matter what, whether it's about peanut butter or whether it's about a nation, people will accept things they do not agree with to avoid getting yelled at, to avoid making things uncomfortable, to avoid getting things heated. Look, speaking of marriage, I'll just tell you this right now. And I'm certainly not any kind of a marriage expert, obviously, as you know, but one of the biggest mistakes young couples make is they try to avoid fighting. For me, I always tell them it's a mistake whenever you get with a young couple and they'll say, we never fight. We're just so in love. We never fight. Why don't you fight? Why wouldn't you fight? You're two different people. You obviously are going to have disagreements about some things. Now, you want to keep it within reason, but you never argue? If you never argue, then somebody is shutting their mouth when they should be speaking up. That is a fact. But that is not human nature. Human nature is to seek out calm, quiet, peace. And the communists have used that in our society against us relentlessly. And it has, in either large ways or small ways, if you're being honest with yourself, somehow, some way, it has shaped something you have said or something you didn't say. Oh, I don't want to say that way. That person might find it offensive. Oh, I don't want to say this. There have been a lot of yelling about that. I'm not sure if you shouldn't say that. That is why they do it. And that's why they create these huge just thunderstorms of rage at the drop of a hat, because they understand there is power in that. If you lack shame, if you don't seek calm and you don't seek peace and instead you seek destruction and domination like the communist does, if you don't seek calm and peace, there's huge power there over people who seek it. That's a fact. They can use your values against you in that way as well. Well, I want everyone to think I'm nice. I don't want any mean comments on Facebook. They use that stuff a lot. All right. I've got to play this one. Looks like toning down the rhetoric lasted a long time.
When you say there's nothing wrong with going to the Capitol, breaking in, threatening people, a couple cops dying, putting up a noose, a gallows for dump for the former vice president, and then you say you're gonna forgive people for that, you're gonna pardon them, that was just a normal response. That is not. I have my entire career voted against and railed against and moved against the idea of violence is never appropriate. Never, 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 never in politics.
Yeah. And here's how you responded when asked about the debate.
In your last TV interview, you were asked if you had watched the debate. Your answer was, I don't think so, no. Have you since seen it?
I've seen pieces of it. I've not watched the whole debate.
And the reason I ask, because I guess the question is, are you all on the same page? Are you seeing what they saw, which was moments of, frankly, that appeared to be confused?
Lester, look, why don't you guys ever talk about the 28 lies he told?
And then there's this.
What happens if you have another episode like we saw during the debate?
What happens if another?
Yeah, what happens if you have another performance on that par, on that level?
I don't plan on having another performance on that.
What happens if you do that again? Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. Dear Jesse, while at the convention, you had brought up how I can access these Medal of Honor citations on my own on the internet. I am sure I'm not the only one interested. Where do we go on the internet to find these? There's a few different places. I know the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. I know that that's one of them, but there are several websites, but I know that's one of them. If you just do an internet search for Congressional Medal of Honor Society, if you're interested in those Medal of Honor citations, they're all listed there, separated out by conflict, separated out by branch of service. It is a fascinating read. I'm warning you right now, though. It's like going in to a website with an endless volume of interesting short stories. It becomes an addiction when you log into it and you start logging in and you're reading this story for Army from this conflict and Marines from this conflict, and you realize how many heroes there are out there, and you can't stop. Once you start, you can't stop. I'm warning you. Hey, Jesse, regardless of your feelings about unity, What are your thoughts about President Trump rewriting his convention speech to address unity? His name is Chuck. Okay. Let's talk about that, because, you know, I reject the notion of unity. As long as it's a notion without a concrete plan, it means nothing. It's a bumper sticker. It means absolutely nothing. It's a child's blankie that makes you feel better. It means absolutely nothing. So what do I think about Trump rewriting his speech? Let's talk about that in a very frank way. Before I talk about that, let's talk about how you're planning on eating if the power goes out. Do you think the open border for the last 3.5 years, do you think some bad people came across that border? And do you think any of those people have a concrete plan in place already to go after our power grid? Let me clue you in. They do. This is something we know from intelligence now. The enemy knows we are vulnerable there. Well, what happens to your grocery store? We just had a friggin' hurricane in Houston. Our grocery stores have been down for days. They lost it all. You didn't have it before the hurricane. You weren't getting it afterwards. My Patriot Supplies sells emergency food kits. They sell emergency three-month food kits, $200 off right now. Everyone who lives with you needs one. If it's just one of you, just get one. You don't have to go crazy. Everyone needs a three-month emergency food kit. At preparewithjessekelly.com, that's where you get $200 off. Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Gosh, it's tough to interrupt Johnny Rivers. Nevertheless, I will, because we have to have a discussion about this before we get to Iran trying to kill President Trump. Before we get to that, question was, you know, I've been going off about the unity and peace thing. Again, unity and peace are fine, but those words themselves mean nothing, absolutely nothing, unless there's an actual concrete plan to get there. Oh, we need to unify. What does that mean? That's a child's blankie that makes you feel better when the wind's blowing. It doesn't actually accomplish anything at all. So stop saying those things to me. We need peace. Okay, how? What's the plan for that? Who's going to lay down their swords? What does that mean? All right, so that's what I've been saying. And she said, hey, Jesse, regarding your feelings about unity, what are your thoughts about President Trump rewriting his convention speech to address unity? It's not a she. It's from a guy named Chuck. What a great name, Chuck. All right, let me talk to you about something. We are at the Republican convention. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about timeline-wise. It's July 16th. It's the Republican convention. Trump is going to officially be the nominee in a couple days. I think it's, what is it, Thursday, I believe it is, they make him the nominee. Chris, is that right? What am I asking you for? Chris never knows anything, but I think it's Thursday when he officially becomes the nominee. So this period of time can be very difficult and probably will be difficult for someone like you and someone like me. So what am I talking about, someone like you or someone like me? You are the hardcore politically involved person. You know the issues, you know what you want. You're probably pretty far to the right. I know we have a bunch of kind of middle of the road people who listen, and I realize we have a bunch of dirty commies who hate listen, but for the most part, you're probably someone far to the right. So allow me to just give it to you. The Trump portion of the campaign that was aimed at you is over. It's absolutely over. This is now general election presidential politics now. That's what it is. The things Trump is going to say, even positions he may take publicly, I don't know whether he believes them or thinks them at this point in time. Trump is going to say and do many, many things in order to coalition build to ensure he wins the White House in November. And I'm not complaining about that. And I'm also not celebrating that. That's the way politics works every time. During the primary, I know I hit the microphone again. Shut up, Chris. During the primary process, that's when they try to talk to you. That's when they try to convince you. No, I'm the one furthest to the right. I'm the one who actually secure the border. I'm this. I'm that. Now, that we have a nominee, that's over. That is over. And this is why I implore everyone to get involved in local elections and primaries. That is the time to hash out exactly what you want your GOP rep or senator or one running for president. The primary is the time to make that decision. Now, when we get here, the portion of the election that was meant for you is over, because a campaign, any presidential campaign, this is not unique to Trump's, any Republican nominee at this point in time will automatically bank on your vote and should bank on your vote. Does that mean every single one of you is going to vote? No, I know there are a bunch of people who plan on voting RFK. There are a bunch of people who plan on not voting for Trump. They're mad about this or the vax or something. Like, I understand. I'm not talking about that. But for the most part, a Republican nominee should be focusing every minute of every day on the people he doesn't have yet. And that means ignoring you. Ignoring me. I've said this before, and it's wild how differently people hear what I'm about to say. Some people took this as some hardcore defense of Trump. Of course, the Trump worshipers took it as some insult of Trump, when it's neither of the two. What Trump says between now and November doesn't really matter to me at all anymore. All that matters now, the only thing that matters, is if Trump wins, what does he do? If Trump wins, what does he do? And I don't have the answer to that. And you don't have the answer to that. I don't know if he does pull this off in November and it looks good. I don't know what his plans are for governing. Is this going to be the 4 years where there is some swamp drainage? Is he going in there as if he's the sword of God to clean out this deep state corruption, to go after all these people who've done us wrong, who've done him wrong? Is that his plan? That might be his plan. And if it is, sign me up for it. I don't know. I know that he can't run a general election talking about that, so I don't expect him to. I expect him to do that if he's elected. And look, on the bad side, if he's elected, it's his plan to just kind of moderate and do a by-the-book, down-the-middle presidency, trying to soothe over some hard feelings with the media and be known as the guy who did it kind of normal at the end? I don't know. You don't know, so don't pretend like you do. We don't know. None of us know. The proof will be in the pudding, as the saying goes. We'll know when the time comes. I don't know what we're going to get, but I know that the campaign between now and then, it's not meant for you. It's not meant for me, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. This is going to be a campaign that's probably going to nauseate you, like most general election campaigns do, because the campaign is for nauseating people. You know who these people are. We call them Norm or Norma. This is a campaign that will be so dumbed down and basic. You're just going to see ad after ad after ad about immigration, inflation, public safety. Almost every ad you see is probably going to be fall somewhere in that theme. Get used to it. The election for you is over. All right? All right. We'll talk about this Iranian plot to take out Trump. Before we talk about that, let's talk about the greatest freaking bedding on the planet, MyPillow. And I love that they've expanded beyond that. Originally, obviously, it was just MyPillow, and that just blew up everywhere as people figured out, hold on, I don't have to spend a fortune to have the greatest pillow ever. But that morphed into these other incredible products. And now they have item after item after item. Their sandals, honestly, every time they have a big sale on the sandals, they sell out every single time. Their six-piece towel sets, they're amazing. You realize that both those things are $25 right now? At MyPillow.com, you click on the Radio Listener Special Square and use the promo code Jesse. They have a laundry list of things that are $25. Go. MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special Square and use the promo code Jesse or call them 800-845-0544. Now let's talk about this headline. I've seen a bunch of this today. U.S. detected Iranian plot to kill Trump, separate from last week's shooting. Oh, let's have a chat about Iran, Trump, and lies. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show live from the Republican National Convention here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I feel like such a journalist when I say it like that, Chris. Do you look at me differently now than you did before? That is true. I don't have the soundbite. Well, you didn't send me with my soundboard. I have this little stupid soundboard that doesn't have my fart sound or the Why Are You Gay soundbite or anything like that. So I'm basically naked here. I'm doing a show with no help, which, granted, that's how I normally have to do it because Chris is the only one there who's supposed to be helping. Anyway, if you'd like to email the show, you can. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, okay. You know, this whole assassination attempt, we've talked about it at length. There's a lot of things about it that smell and don't add up. If you missed it last night we had Clay Martin on at the very beginning of the show. He's that former Green Beret sniper type. And I kept him on for 20-30 minutes last night to break some things down, help me understand things, help you understand things. Why was this not done? Why was that not done? And you know, Clay had some very direct things to say about the response and lack of response. You know what I've said about it. I don't have any idea what to believe, and I probably never will, because we don't have anyone we can trust. Are we dealing with some 20-year-old nut job, lost his mind, decided he was going to kill Donald Trump all on his own? Oh, yeah, that might be absolutely what we have. Are we dealing with something bigger, something more evil, an organization, government or otherwise, using a patsy to take out a powerful person, as they've done many, many times before in the past? Is that what we're dealing with? I don't know. I can't dismiss anything. And if you say you can, I say that you're wrong. You're naive. There's nothing that can be dismissed. It may be the most obvious, benign explanation in the world. It may be some huge palace coup put on by the CIA or something. I don't know. Like, we're never going to know because we can't trust anything. But here's something I definitely know. The things that don't add up, the more we get information, they keep not adding up. Meaning, the further we get away from it, the more video we get. the more audio we get, the more eyewitness testimony we get, the more official reports we get from this police department, this sheriff's department, this group, that group, this group, that group. It's not getting any clearer. In fact, it looks worse and worse and worse. And then today, I saw this doozy. Headline after headline after headline, alluding to the fact that U.S. intelligence agencies were tracking a potential assassination attempt of Trump by Iran. Okay, so let's deal with that on its face. Is that unbelievable? Not at all. In fact, it's something that's very, very believable. Remember, Trump is the one who approved the taking out of Qassem Soleimani, their general. Iran has had an huge axe to grind with Trump ever since then, and they've said so very, very publicly. This is someone they do want dead. Okay, so it's plausible. We also know that we have a wide open border. So if they wanted to bring assassins into this country, they would have had no trouble doing so. That happens when you elect communists who open up the border of your country. So that's bad. All right. So again, believable. We also know this. The intelligence network of Iran, it is a big boy intelligence network. Very sophisticated. We as Americans, I'm as guilty of this as anyone else, especially when we think about Middle Eastern countries, Islamic countries, we tend to think about them as more backwards than they really are. Iran is a country that has a major intelligence network. They have a major military as well. Iran is not some tiny little mud hut country. So is it believable that Iran was planning on taking out Trump? They are planning on taking out Trump, because who knows, that plan may still be in place. Of course, it's something that it's possible, more than possible. But I find the timing of it to be very, very interesting. You see, Donald Trump almost loses his life. If he doesn't turn his head, he does lose his life. Right before the convention where he was going to accept the nomination. Also at a time when Joe Biden's cognitive decline is headline news everywhere. Are they going to replace him? Are they going to not replace him? Let me ask you, how many times over the last 48 hours have you read a major or watched a major news story about the effort to replace Joe Biden? Haven't seen many of those, have you? It's kind of fallen out of the news, despite the fact the guy still can't talk and apparently doesn't know who his Secret Service director is.
Is it acceptable that you have still not heard, at least publicly, from the Secret Service director?
Well, I've heard from him.
But have you heard from her publicly?
Publicly. I've sat down in a situation room downstairs with the Secret Service, the FBI.
Oh, I've heard from him, except it's a her, and it's a her that he himself appointed. Okay, so the timing of this, let's do a little revisionist history. They take out Donald Trump before the convention at a time when Joe Biden's poll numbers are in free fall and everyone's calling for his head. Okay. And now the attempt fails. Now you have to deal with the fallout of that. The assassination attempt fails. Of course, the shooter, the lone gunman, he's dead, as they always turn out to be. Somehow, some way, they always end up dying really shortly afterwards. Whether they run into Jack Ruby at a parking garage, whether it's a sniper bullet to the dome, it's weird how these lone gunmen always get killed so quickly. But anyway, now, at a time when the Secret Service and the failures to protect Trump are headline news, now we're being told that it was the Iranians? I'm sorry. That just seems a little too neat and convenient for this man. Keep in mind, the same people telling you it was the Iranians who tried to take out Trump, those are the same people that told you COVID came from a bowl of bat soup in Wuhan. These are the exact same people who told you the mask, the vaccine, would slow the spread. These are the people who told you Trump colluded with Russia. George Floyd was a saint who didn't die of a drug overdose. All the same people who've told you these things are now telling you it was the Iranians. Sorry, I don't believe anything you people say at all. And then we have Joyanne Reed.
And a fear that what's going to happen now is that the Republican Party will do what they do, but the media will acquiesce to trying to convince people that the things they've been experiencing for the last, you know, 5-6 years didn't happen. That the greatest purveyor and promoter of political violence, really, you know, since anyone can remember, since George Wallace, I think, you know, that we just haven't experienced that kind of open, you know, sort of citing or sort of incitement of violence or sort of luxuriating in the idea of violence. It's just not something we're used to anymore in American politics. And then we had to get used to that being a thing. And people are concerned and expressing concern that we won't be the guardians of memory. And that we will allow Donald.
I can't. The guardians of memory. The way these people see themselves. Yeah. I just find the whole thing interesting. Headline: Trump rally shooting upends Democrats' Biden crisis. Now, everyone's focused on something else. That was very oddly timed, wouldn't you agree? Extremely oddly timed. Anyway, Jesse, I have this nagging question about the whole thing, as do I. The Secret Service leaves this roof uncovered. How does this 20-year-old kid know just where to go? Just how to get up on this roof? Don't you find it a bit strange? His name is Roy. Oh, I find it extremely strange. I find these latest reports we have more than strange. We're getting reports about the kid being in there with a range finder beforehand, and the cops saw him in there with a range finder. Why would he know to go to that roof? Did he carry a ladder to that roof? Or, I don't know what would be worse, if he carried it to the roof, or if there was one already there? Look, we're never going to know the answers to these questions, and I don't want to promote conspiracy theories because I don't know. You'll never know. Oh, I find a lot of this strange, and I don't believe any of these people. And I also don't believe you're still walking around with that daily pain that you experience. That pain, you wake up every single morning, you're grabbing your neck, maybe this is the day, and it's not gone, is it? It affects your sleep, doesn't it? It affects your mood. Daily pain sucks the life out of you, it does. And you know, you could take steps to stop that. Your body's already trying to fight that inflammation, but your body needs help. Otherwise, the pain would already be gone. That's where Relief Factor comes in. Drug-free, all natural. It helps your body's natural response to inflammation. You take it every single day. You take it for 3 weeks, and then tell me how you feel. Watch it disappear. There's a reason everyone calls to order more. The stuff's miraculous, man. Miraculous. Go to relieffactor.com. Or you can give them a call, 1-800-4-RELIEF. One segment left. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. But don't worry, we will return tomorrow. You should send me an email. We're still getting these, as you can tell. I don't know how he's doing it. Somehow Jewish producer Chris is getting the emails in physical form over to me so I can read them. Email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, all right? All right, and also I was thinking about this. I don't think that space travel is as cool as astronauts make it out to be. And I have to be clear, I understand why they do it, because it's this really impressive thing to be an astronaut. And all those guys, they're normally pilots and fighter pilots. And they're really, especially the beginning, they're such impressive people. So it's not that I'm dogging on being an astronaut. I think that's really impressive. But I feel like when you're an astronaut, you have to come back and say how cool it was and say how great it was. Oh, my gosh, it's the best. Really? Which part? Which part? You're telling me? You're telling me that suit doesn't get you a little claustrophobic? Telling me that? I call bullcrap. You're telling me you enjoy going pee on yourself? You know they have to wear diapers or something in there, right? That's how they have to do that. Don't tell me you're enjoying that. You tell me you sleep well in space, you know those beds suck. You know the food sucks. I think they've been overselling it to everybody for a long, long time. And if you're a kid out there who dreams of being an astronaut, I think you need to set those dreams aside, because I'm telling you right now, it's going to suck. What, Chris? What is zero G? What are you talking about? Is this about money again, Chris? Oh, no gravity. Okay, no gravity. You know what? That'd be fine for 5 minutes. It'd be fine for 5 minutes, and then it would get so unbelievably old. I don't have to chase down my orange juice, okay? I just want to be able to pour it down my throat. Anyway, let's talk about some more important things. Sorry, Chris got me distracted. Jesse, I spent over 20 years in the United States Secret Service, full-time detail for 4 years. Saddened by what has happened in my agency. I actually got a few of these from former Secret Service guys. This is a period of time. It's everyone's facing challenges. I don't want to act like there's only one generation that's having it worse than the others. The younger generation, they've got unique challenges, and older generations have unique challenges. But this is a period of time when I feel genuinely bad for about my dad's generation, I would say. If you're 50 to 80, 50 to 90, I feel the worst for you. Why? Because these revered, formerly wonderful institutions, maybe institutions that you used to belong to, they've turned rotten. And what happens is, not only are you upset because you used to be part of it and whatnot, but that became, understandably, part of your life and part of your life's resume. Like this guy here, he said he was 20 years Secret Service. I'm sure he's not a braggart, but if he finds himself having a conversation with people, who are you, where are you from, you married, what do you do? I have no doubt at some point in time, it comes up that he spent 20 years in the United States Secret Service. Why wouldn't it come up? Isn't that freaking cool? That's one of those shortlist things on your life's resume that you will bring up to people when you're in conversation with yourself. So how do you handle it? How do you deal with it if the United States Secret Service goes bad? We've talked about this. Maybe you go through this. Maybe you went to one of these prestigious universities. We'll just use Harvard, but there are how many examples? Sadly, there are a lot of examples, but how many examples could we use? If you went to Harvard, let's say you graduated from Harvard in the 80s or something along those lines. Well, that's pretty much amazing. Most people can't even get a sniff of getting into Harvard. You not only got in, you made the grades, you passed, and now, look, if Harvard, Yale, whatever, wherever you went, you have that diploma hanging in your office, don't you? Maybe it's at home in the office, maybe it's at work, but that's one of those things you kind of lead with, don't you? You're proud of that, understandably proud of that. How do you mentally, emotionally deal with the fact that Harvard has become a putrid place, a place where your values, the values you have, the values you had, they're completely rejected and frankly despised? That is a lot to deal with. And I have a lot of sympathy for that older generation, just a little bit older than me, going through this, watching organizations, institutions you've admired your entire life, watching them be taken from you. This is the head of the Secret Service after Trump almost died?
Who is most responsible for this happening?
What I would say is that the Secret Service is responsible for the protection of the former president.
So the buck stops with you?
The buck stops with me. I am the director of the Secret Service. It was unacceptable, and it's something that shouldn't happen again.
The president and Homeland Security Secretary said today they had 100% confidence in you, but there are some members of Congress calling on you to resign.
I appreciate the secretary's comments, and we're going to continue to be transparent and communicate with people.
Do you plan to stay on? Absolutely.
I do plan to stay.
How sad is that if Secret Service is part of your resume? That has to hurt, right? All right. Let me tell you about something that matters. Your health matters. It is something that's actually been on my heart a lot more lately, taking even better care of myself. I've been better. I really have been. I've been getting better. But I can always do more. Chalk has been a central part of how I've been doing it. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. A central part of my life now is a male vitality stack with breakfast. I'm in Wisconsin, as you know. I brought it with me. I never, ever miss. Once you start feeling how you feel, you won't ever miss either. Female vitality stacks, male vitality stacks. Start feeling energized, ready to go at all times. Are you ready to start feeling like that? Start feeling good at all times? Go. Chalk.com. Chok.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a huge discount on subscriptions. All right? We'll do it again tomorrow. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.